أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألم تر أن الله أنزل من السماء ماء فأخرجنا به ثمرات مختلفا ألوانها ومن الجبال جدد بيض وحمر مختلف ألوانها وغرابيب سود ومن الناس والدواب والأنعام مختلف ألوانه كذلك إنما يخشى الله من عباده العلماء إن الله عزيز غفور. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وعملا وإخلاصا وحبا لك يا كريم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. I just recited a few verses from Surah Fatir. A surah, a few verses in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't you see how Allah sent water from the sky? And He brought out through it fruits of varying colors. And from the mountains, you have those in shades of white and red in different colors, and those that are in shades of gray and black. And from the humans and the animals and the cattle, you have different colors as well. It is only those who are in awe of Allah, they are the true knowers of Him. It is Allah alone who is almighty and all-forgiving. In this set of verses and many other verses in the Quran, many verses of the Quran, Allah asks us and demands of us that we look. Alam taraw, alam tara. Not that we look, but He says, why are you not looking? How could you not look? You're missing something. He asks us to look at His creation, at the night and the day, at the rain from the sky, at the animals, at the birth of a child, as a leaf as it falls from a tree. He asks us to look at these things and to observe them carefully, for us to begin to realize the name of Allah, Al-Khaliq. That is the name that we are living with today. Al-Khaliq in the Quran has come so many times. Khaliqu kulli shay'in fa'buduh. Khalaqa as-samawati wal-ardha bil-haq. Wa sawwarakum fa ahsana suwarakum. So many ways and so many forms and so many different contexts this name has come. But what does Al-Khalq, what does this name mean? And how is it different from human beings? A human being could also be a Khaliq, but not Al-Khaliq, not the Khaliq. And we'll explore that and understand that in some detail. Al-Khaliq in Arabic, or Khalq, is when you take something from nothing. From nothing, you create something. And you not just create something, you make it for a specific purpose. One of the examples that's used in the Arabic language is when a baker, he has dough. And he kneads that dough into a specific shape and a specific form to have a particular texture and a particular taste. So in the morning, when you're having your anjiro bread, or you're having your chapati, or you're having your parathas, or you're having your naan bread, whatever it is that you eat, know that that bread came from dough. And it was squeezed and molded and shaped into that particular product that you're eating. This is a form of khalq. But how is it different? Allah's khalq, Allah's creation, and the creation of human beings. Human beings create things as well, don't we? We create mobile phones, we create wood, But what's the difference between human beings creating something and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creating something? Yes. Okay, the human being makes a creation from Allah's creation. So they're not creating something from nothing. They're taking something that exists and they're changing it, they're cutting it, they're molding it, they're moving about Allah's creation. They're putting it together or taking it apart. But a human being cannot make something from nothing. And this is where the realization appears, that Allah is the only one who can make something from nothing. This name of Allah, Al-Khaliq, very often when it comes in the Quran, it is almost always paired with another question, or another request, or another demand from Allah. Who can tell me what is the first command in the Quran, in order, the first command? This is in order of revelation. This is the first thing that was revealed to Muhammad. But when you open the Mus'haf, so from Surah Al-Fatiha, what is the first fi'l amr, the first verbal command? No, iqra. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim is from us to Allah. But the first command from Allah to us. Yes, oh yes, you had it, yes. Ya ayyuhan nasu abudu rabbakum alladhi khalaqakum walladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqoon. Ayyuhan nas. Allahu Akbar. Sheikh Muhammad Ali Walid. Sheikh, collect your prize. Now, everybody is going to make dua every week. Sheikh Muhammad Ali Walid comes to the lesson so that they get cash prizes. MashaAllah. Allahu Akbar. Now, Sheikh, there'll be a lot of hands up after this. Are you ready, Sheikh? Are you ready, Sheikh? This was the last. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhan nas, O people, meaning O humanity. This is a universal, now this is a universal request. Worship your Lord who created you and those before you. I.e. worship Him because He created you. When you realize He created you, He's the Khaliq, you are automatically moved to worship Him. I'll give you another example. The most visionary human beings on this earth are the ones that create something special. When Steve Jobs first invented the iPhone, there was a lot of following for this man. How many people bought his books, watched his movie, read his autobiography? Today, when Elon Musk invented the first electric car, the first commercial electric car, how many people follow him? They are devoted to him. They're running after him. Why? Because he's invented something remarkable, just as Steve Jobs did with the Apple, with the first Macintosh computer. When a human being invents something remarkable, unique, you've never seen anything like it, other human beings automatically start to, it's like a magnet, they start to feel a pull towards them. They start to be curious about them. Who are they? Where are they from? How did they do this? It almost sometimes turns into some kind of worship. People then devote themselves. People are fans of this person. People will buy t-shirts. They'll sacrifice their home and their money, etc., to get this product or to follow this person, to get all the Apple products. This starts to become a mindset of followership. And this is a human being making some imperfect thing from other creations of Allah. He's taken metal, steel, wood, and he's made something. And this causes such a huge group of people to be obsessed with this person. This is, Allah placed this in the human DNA. That when a person sees something uniquely made, something that was made in an intelligent way, something that was made for a special purpose, something that no other person would easily make, a human being automatically feels amazed. This amazement that you feel, in Arabic we call it al-khashya. It's an amazement, but you're also in awe. Your jaw drops. You say, wow, how could this be? This in Arabic you call khashya. When you have an amazement of something or somebody, you're amazed by it, but you also have a bit of fear, a bit of respect. It's like when one of these, you know, big inventors or celebrities, Henry Ford, Tesla, Elon Musk, when they walk past a crowd, what happens to people? They drop behind them. They're shocked. People start crying. They're in awe, they're amazed, they're scared, just they're shivering just to be around this person. The same way, just as people are amazed by human products, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, in His own words, if you are amazed by this iPad and this iPhone and this electric car, why haven't you looked at the sky above? Don't you find that impressive? أَفَلَمْ يَنْظُرُوا إِلَى السَّمَاءِ فَوْقَهُمْ Why did they never look up at the sky above them? كَيْفَ بَنَيْنَاهَا وَزَيَّنَّاهَا وَمَا لَهَا مِنْ فُرُوجٍ How was it made? How was it beautified? And it has no cracks in it. وَالْأَرْضَ مَدَدْنَاهَا وَأَلْقَيْنَا فِيهَا رَوَاسِي And the earth was made flat out for you, so you can walk, so you can farmland. It was made for you. It's like everything was, as they say, you were born with a golden spoon. Everything was made perfect just for you to come and sit on it. And yet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَإِنَّكُمْ لَتَمُرُّونَ عَلَيْهِمْ مُصْبِحِينَ You walk past these signs every day. وبالليل, and every night, but nothing ever comes into your mind. This is the most dangerous thing. Is for us, before, hundreds of years ago, people would look at this world and they would be overwhelmed with the idea and the conclusion it must have a creator, Al-Khaliq. However, today, we are worse because we don't even look at Allah's creation. What is it that stops us from appreciating the khalq, the creation of Allah? You guys tell me. What is it that stops us from sitting and just staring at the sky and appreciating the leaves and the trees and the soil and the plant and the animals? Yes. Lots of inventions. What else? You might be, it's hectic, busy life. You're too busy to look up. What else? Sorry, too much distraction. Yeah. Technology, this is the killer.
Too much comfort.
You're very comfortable. You know, we don't interact. You know, before for someone to know Maghrib time, hundreds of years ago, did they have a 4:22 p.m.? Did they have a clock to look at? For them to know Maghrib time, they had to look at the sun and the horizon. For them to know Fajr time, they had to look at the black and the white thread on the horizon. For them to do wudu, they had to go in search of water. For them to eat food, they had to go in search of wood or coal in order to create fire. People's day-to-day lives were connected to nature, to the world around them. It's the moment we disconnected from nature is when people started disbelieving in God. This is why when we had the Industrial Revolution, when human beings created factories and machines, people stopped working in farms and they started working in factories. It was at this moment in history that Europe started to say God doesn't exist because they were detached from nature. Today, if you leave Manchester City and you go into the countryside, into Macclesfield, into Leek, into Buxton, you will see religious communities still live there. They're religious, they still worship God, they still pray to Him, they still pray at the dinner table. Why? Why is it that people who disbelieve in God mostly live in the city and people who are connected to God live mostly in the countryside? The psychologists, the sociologists are telling us something. There's a connection. If we become blind to the creation of Allah, we will become blind to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself. We will become ungrateful to Him. We will become distant from Him. We will not realize that He is Al-Khaliq, Al-Bari, Al-Musawwir, Lahu Al-Asma'ul Husna. Allah uses other names of His to describe His creation in the Quran. Who can give me some of these other names? To describe Him as the creator, the originator, the designer. Al-Musawwir. What's the root word of Musawwir? Who can tell me? Sawwara yusawwiru. To make something in a particular picture, shape, form. When Allah uses this name, Al-Musawwir, in the Quran, He uses it in what context? What is He shaping? Wood, clay, buildings, specifically human beings. وَصَوَّرَكُمْ فَأَحْسَنَ صُوَرَكُمْ. Allah says in the Quran, He shaped you, and He shaped you in the best way, in the most beautiful way. What does that mean? We have 10 brothers sitting here. Each of them have a nose that has a different shape. One person's nose looks like a Boeing 747. Another person's nose looks like the Eiffel Tower. Everyone's nose has been shaped differently. There's no two are the same. I'm a twin. I have a sister that was born at the same time as me, but 4 minutes later. I never let her forget. I'm 4 minutes older. We are born at the same time, but we look nothing alike. وَصَوَّرَكُمْ. He formed you, He shaped you, your features. فَأَحْسَنَ صُوَرَكُمْ. And He made your features beautiful in their own way. وَإِلَيْهِ الْمَصِيرِ. This is another name of Allah. And that calls us to look carefully at the greatest of Allah's creation, human beings. What is it that makes this creation of Allah special compared to everything else He made? Anybody else? He says, Al-Aql, the mind. I think the mind is one part, but there's something else that makes human beings. Because animals have a brain too. They have an aql, not the same kind of aql, but they have a brain as well. Yes, Ahsan. The soul. Ar-Ruh. And not just any soul, but the soul that yearns for Allah. And it yearns for what is greater. Animals and human beings both eat, sleep, and excrete. Akramakumullah. They reproduce. This is between all human beings and all animals. Animals think, they communicate. But what makes human beings special is that soul that Allah placed within us that needs Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It connects to Him. That's why you don't see any animal masjids, animal temples, animal universities. But you see human beings from the very beginning of time till today, human beings always looked for a creator. They worshipped a creator. We live in society today, in a world today where many people you come across will be non-Muslims and many of them will not believe in God. And you might one day come across the question, what's the evidence, what's the proof that God exists in the first place? I want you to tell me, from the name of Allah we are discussing, Al-Khaliq, how would you explain to your neighbor, your colleague, your friend at school, that this world could not exist without a creator? Who wants to explain to me? Yes? Okay, he's saying, how is there a sky without pillars? Explain to me more. Yeah. Okay, beautiful. So a building has a structure to hold it up, but the sky doesn't have anything to hold it. Yes, Yang. Sorry? How did water get here in the first place? That's a deeper question than how rain happens. Yes.
Something cannot come from nothing.
So beautiful. Something cannot come from nothing. Beautiful. Yes. Allahu Akbar. How old are you, young man? 14, mashallah. You're giving a very complex answer. The complexity of the human body. Beautiful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about this complexity of the human body in the Quran with His name, Al-Khaliq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ثُمَّ خَلَقْنَا النُّطْفَةَ عَلَقَةً فَخَلَقْنَا الْعَلَقَةَ مُضْغَةً فَخَلَقْنَا الْمُضْغَةَ عِظَامًا ثُمَّ أَنْشَأْنَاهُ خَلْقًا آخَرَ فَتَبَارَكَ اللَّهُ أَحْسَنُ الْخَالِقِينَ. One of the greatest evidences Allah gives us of Him being the creator of everything is He says, look at how you came into being. He says there was a nutfah, a drop of fluid, a drop of liquid. This nutfah, this drop of liquid became a alaqah, a small piece of flesh. This piece of flesh became a mudghah, a larger piece of flesh. This larger piece of flesh got bones, idham. But then, after bones and flesh, something happened. A dead person is bones and flesh too. Something happened between bones and flesh and you today. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ثُمَّ أَنْشَأْنَاهُ خَلْقًا آخَرَ. Then we made a new creation out of it. That is the soul. The life that is breathed into this flesh and bones. This is something that there is no explanation for. You see, the world today, the Western world today, understands everything as materials. I'll give you an example. Sayyidi Muhammad, you're depressed? Very good. Depression is just hormones in your brain. So we'll give you some tablets and your hormones will be fine tomorrow. So you'll be fine. There is no acknowledgement that there is something more than flesh and bones. There is something deeper there within the human being. This is what Allah has pointed. ثُمَّ أَنْشَأْنَاهُ خَلْقًا آخَرَ. Human being is not just bones and flesh. Something else is there within this human being. Nobody can explain it. If you give a scientist, if you give anybody a bunch of bones and flesh and you say, make a human being out of this, they cannot even create Frankenstein. They cannot do anything with it. The soul is the sirrullah. That is something that is exclusive to Allah. That's why when Allah tells us about the soul in the Quran, Allah says, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ. O Muhammad, they ask you about the soul. قُلِ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي. Say, O Muhammad, tell them, the soul is from the exclusive creations of Allah.
وَمَا أُوتِيتُم مِّنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا.
And you will only know very little about the soul. Till today, it is the biggest confusion for neuroscientists, psychologists. Why do human beings have a consciousness? Why do we have a soul? It doesn't make sense. Nobody can explain it. Nobody can reproduce it. This is the evidence Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us. He's pointing to us in the Quran. Allah points to us. When you see the leaf falling from the tree, think what caused it to fall from the tree. Ultimately, yes, gravity pulled on the leaf. There was something else acting on the ground. But ultimately, you will say, what caused it all? There was something at the beginning that caused all of it. There's something, another version of this name, Al-Khaliq, that comes in the Quran. No, with the same root letters, Khalaqa, a different version of this name. Al-Khalaq. Who can remember, we talked about Ghafoor and Ghaffar. The difference between these two names. What is the difference between Ghafoor, the forgiving, and Ghaffar? Anybody remember? Yes? Sheikh, this one is £100 reward. I'm joking. No pressure. Yes, Sheikh, tell me. We accept payment in rupees as well, inshallah, if you cannot afford pounds. Yes, Sheikh, tell me. MashaAllah. Sheikh. Allahu Akbar. La, Sheikh Muhammad. Sheikh Muhammad, ya. Sheikh Muhammad, hawan alayna. Yalla, go collect your price. Jazakumullah khair. May Allah reward you. He said, beautiful. And honestly, subhanAllah, mashaAllah, these two young men. No, and the young men of this masjid generally, they always shock me. MashaAllah, tabarak al-Rahman. How many of their age, how many people at their age are still playing Fortnite in their houses? And they are here telling me the difference between Ghafoor and Ghaffar. It's, you know, it's really something to be appreciated. SubhanAllah. And the first commandment of the Quran. Honestly, it is something. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our children of the ulama. Ameen, Rabbil Alameen. And may Allah convert this curiosity and this intelligence for His sake. Ameen, Rabbil Alameen. And for all of us, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Al-Ghafoor in Arabic, when a verb goes from Ghafoor to Ghaffar, Fa'ul to Fa'al, it denotes exaggeration. So Ghaffar is not just the forgiving, but the one who forgives again and again, frequently. For example, Khabbaz. So a Khabiz is someone who bakes bread. Khubz, right? Bread. Khabbaz means someone who is baking bread again and again and again and again, constantly, again and again. So it means exaggeration. Either a lot of bread or constantly doing the thing. Now we come to Khalaq. Al-Khaliq is the one who creates. He could create just once and never again. But Khalaq is the one that's creating every moment. You have to really understand what that means. Anybody remembers the example I gave a long time ago? I'll give it again. There's a famous experiment done by a psychologist. There's a dog. And every time he gives the dog food, he rings the bell. And then he gives the dog food. Yeah? Pavlov, the famous psychologist. He rings the bell, ding 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 ding, and he gives the dog food. He rings the bell, ding 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 ding, he gives the dog food. When he keeps doing this, after the 10th time, when he rings the bell, ding 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 ding, the dog starts salivating. He starts getting thirsty. Why? Why is the dog getting hungry? He thinks the bell is connected to the food. The dog thinks the bell is connected to the food. But one day he rings the bell and there's no food. The dog doesn't realize somebody else is ringing the bell and somebody else is bringing the food. The dog creates a creates a connection between the two. Now I'll give you a relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The way we look at things, we look at them from a dunya perspective. We light a match and the wood goes on fire. So we think the spark caused the fire. But we don't realize Allah caused the spark and Allah created the fire. This is Khalaq. He, every moment he creates. But in our mind, we think that they're connected. You know, like the water cycle. Who can describe to me the water cycle? If you remember GCSE biology. What's the water cycle, roughly? Who can tell me? Yes, if we these two keep answering all the questions, there's nothing left for the rest of us. Yeah, how do we get the rain? Can anyone tell me? Yes, gentlemen at the back. Yes. Yeah, the water condenses from the sea to the sky, and then it becomes clouds, and then it's rain. Now, when we see this, we think the sea caused the water to go up, and the clouds caused the rain to happen. But actually, Allah created the water in the sea. He created the condensation that brought it up. And every moment Allah is creating. But we in our mind are creating the connections. This is what it means to appreciate Al-Khalaq. You know what it means? That when you get your paycheck at the end of the month, it didn't come from your boss. It came from Allah. Allah created the boss and He created the payslip as well. But we start to associate with other people. My wife cooked the food. My husband repaired the car. We don't realize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of it all. Wallahu khalaqakum wa ma ta'amaloon wa ma ramayta idh ramayta walakinna Allah rama. Allah says in the Quran, you didn't throw the arrow. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who caused you to throw the arrow. You have to appreciate this. And this is what tawheed, one of the meanings of tawheed, is that you don't see all of the people and the means and the causes on this earth. Every time something happens, you just look and you see the one cause of it all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's say today you get in a fight with your neighbor or your mechanic, or you get scammed online, you're trying to buy something. Rather than blaming this person, taking your anger out on this person, you see, Allah is teaching me patience. Allah is frustrating me, He's teaching me patience. You see the direct cause of it all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what Al-Hafidh Al-Maqrizi said. In the 3rd century, I think the 3rd century Hijri, he said, كانت توحيد. Tawheed used to mean, people used to understand Tawheed, meaning that you don't see the effects of people, you see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the one who caused everything. But today, people have made Tawheed just definitions and segregations and things they have memorized, but they don't appreciate Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala behind it all. And this is the meaning of Allah, who al-Khalaq, the one who constantly and repeatedly creates. There are other names that Allah uses for His creation in the Quran. Somebody mentioned just now, Al-Bari'. Al-Bari' has only come in the Quran once, other than Surah Al-Hashr. Yes, Huffaz, where is Al-Bari' in the Quran? There is no cash prize for this. Sheikh Muhammad Ali has mouths to feed. Okay, so let's not do this to Sheikh Muhammad. Yes, Al-Bari'. In Surah Al-Baqarah, but it's without the Al. Yes, gentlemen. You have 10 more seconds. No pressure. MashaAllah. He's too old for a prize, Sheikh. La, MashaAllah. JazakAllah khair. Ahsant. JazakAllah. Some of the prizes are deferred to afterlife, inshallah. Allah says in the Quran, وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِقَوْمِهِ يَا قَوْمِ إِنَّكُمْ ظَلَمْتُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ. When Musa said to his people, you have wronged yourself.
إنكم ظلمتم أنفسكم باتخاذكم العجل.
By worshipping the calf, the cow.
فتوبوا إلى بارئكم.
So repent, seek forgiveness from Al-Bari.
What is Al-Bari?
Al-Bari in Arabic is the one who makes something in such a way where it has no mistakes and no flaws.
Fakhruddin al-Razi rahimahullah, he said, why in this ayah, of all of Allah's names, why did he say, seek forgiveness from Al-Bari?
He says, because if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made everything with no mistakes and no flaws, how is it that you duped yourselves? You lost your mind and you worshipped a cow which has so many mistakes and so many limitations and so many flaws. So return back to the one who has no mistakes and no flaws.
فَتُوبُوا إِلَىٰ بَارِئِكُمْ. Make a U-turn. This is what tawbah is. Tawbah is to return, to come back.
You've lost your mind so far that you're worshipping a cow. Please take a U-turn, come back to the one who has no mistakes and no flaws.
فَتُوبُوا إِلَىٰ بَارِئِكُمْ فَقُتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ ذَلِكُمْ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ عِنْدَ بَارِئِكُمْ فَتَابَ عَلَيْكُمْ.
I want to end this dars with the verse that I began this dars. I recited in the beginning of this lesson a number of verses from Surah Fatir. And at the end of these verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَ اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. Those that are most amazed by Allah from all His creation, from all His slaves, are the ulama. Many people use this verse to say the scholars, meaning the scholars of Islamic knowledge, of the Quran and the Sunnah, etc. That those who are the scholars, the true scholars, are those who are cautious, who are amazed, who are in awe of Allah. As many of the earliest Muslim Salaf used to say, إِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ خَشْيَةُ اللَّهِ. الْعِلْمُ خَشْيَةُ اللَّهِ. And even this is found in the biblical scriptures, in the Old and New Testament. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. رَأْسُ الْعِلْمِ خَشْيَةُ اللَّهِ. And some of the Salaf used the same similar wording. That being amazed by Allah and loving Him and fearing Him, this is really what knowledge should bring you towards. But what ilm is this ayah referring to? What knowledge should one have? What knowledge would you learn that would make you amazed by Allah? The previous verses, what are they talking about? If you look at the context of this verse, the previous verses are talking about the different shades of colors in Allah's creation, in mountains, in the earth, in the rain, in the fruits. And then Allah says, those who are most cautious, fearful of Allah, are the ulama, the knowledgeable ones. One of the scholars of tafsir, he said, that the knowledge you need to know in order to be amazed by Allah and fear of Allah and love of Allah is to know about His creation. And today we have more knowledge about the creation of Allah than we have ever had in the history of humankind. Umar ibn Khattab could never look into a telescope, radiallahu anhu. Nobody back in the day could see the James Webb telescope and the Milky Way and space and the beauty of what Allah has created. They did not know the details of the bees and the ants on this earth and how they move and how they socialize and how they feed each other and how they work with the flowers and the plants. This knowledge of Allah's creation was never known in the past. And as we learn more about Allah's creation, so we become more devoted to Him. So we become more amazed by Him. So we become more fear of Him and more in love with Him. So every parent should take the children outdoors. Take the children to the Peak District. And if you're indoors and the weather is bad, watch documentaries about nature. Watch documentaries, these BBC documentaries about planet Earth, about space, about the forest, about the seas. Turn off the cartoons and let them be amazed. And if you are an adult, you know one thing that we adults have lost. We are so busy with our chores and our work jobs and our children. We lost the ability to wander, to walk on the streets and look at the trees and look at the plants and listen to the birds chirping in the morning. There should be some time in our diary for this. People forget. When the Prophet ﷺ received the first revelation, where was he sitting? In a cave. What was he doing in a cave? He was reflecting. He was thinking. Do you know how far this cave was from his house? Anybody know?
about 6 miles. Not 6 miles on a nice tarmac road, 6 miles in the Meccan terrain with the mountains and the rough. It would take roughly approximately 1 hour for him to walk from his house to this cave. Why? Why would he go 1 hour away from home to sit in a cave before any revelation came? Everybody needs some time in a cave, even if it's not a real cave. If you put your phone on flight mode, airplane mode, you are in a cave. Sometimes when your kids go to sleep, turn off the devices and go and look at the sky outside in the garden with a cup of green tea. This is your cave. We all need time in the cave. 7 people in the cave, a whole surah was named after them, Suratul Kahf. The Prophet received his first revelation in the cave of Hira. The Prophet received revelation in the cave of Thawr when he's alone with Abu Bakr. Caves are very important to us. And if you can't create a physical one, then create a space and a time when you can just reflect, you and Allah and nobody else. You might be in a waiting room in a hospital. You might be waiting for your order in a restaurant. But if you can drown out all the noises and all the bills and all the notifications and all the people from your mind, and you can sit there and say, Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim, you have achieved the status of being in the cave. Find your cave, wherever you may be. This is the practical thing I can give you from today. If we are distant from Allah's creation, we are distant from Allah. If our children are distant from Allah's creation, nothing can bring them to Allah. There is in Manchester, city of Manchester, there are stargazing societies. People that come with telescopes just to admire the skies. There's no Muslims there. No Muslims. We are too busy eating on Wimsler Road. That's our, when we are bored, we go to eat food. There are other people who, when they are bored, they are just looking at the stars in the sky. Allah told us to look at the stars in the sky, and these are commandments of Allah. أَفَلَمْ يَنْظُرُوا إِلَى السَّمَاءِ. Go and look at the sky. We don't fulfill these commandments. But other commandments of Allah, Allah forbade us from كُلُوا وَشْرَبُوا وَلَا تُسْرِفُوا. Eat and drink, but don't go excessive. We like to go and eat excessively. Something to think about for all of us. In this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us that those who have ilm of this creation of Allah, those who know this creation of Allah, they will be in awe, in fear, in love of Him. And this ayah, there are some ayahs that come after it. Who can tell me the verse that comes after it? إِنَّمَا يَخْشَ اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. Who can tell me what comes after it? إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَتْلُونَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ. The following verses are about the Quran and those who are attached to the Quran. And this verse has come right in the middle, which shows that if you want to be a person who is amazed by Allah, to connect with Allah, you need the ilm, the knowledge of two things. Number one, the creation of Allah in the mountains and the birds and the skies. And number two, the book of Allah. The scholars used to say that this Quran, هي آياتٌ تتلى. These are the signs of Allah that you can recite. And the universe around you is ayatun la tutla. These are the signs of Allah that you don't need to recite. They said, some of the scholars used to say that the universe around us is Quranun natiq. It is a sign. This is the Quran around you, but it's not reciting. You can't recite it, but these are the miracles around you. And with this, we conclude our lesson on appreciating the khalq of Allah and the name of Allah, al-khaliq, البارئ المصور له الأسماء الحسنى. And one of the du'as the Prophet ﷺ used to make daily, twice a day, and it has the name of Allah al-Khaliq in it. اللهم أنت ربي لا إله إلا أنت خلقتني وأنا عبدك. Oh Allah, you are my Lord, none worthy of worship but you. You created me from nothing. Of course I am your slave. Sayyidul Istighfar. Make dua to Allah with his names and remember him and appreciate his creations. Wa akhru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa salli allahumma wa sallim wa barik ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.